Welcome to the Plant Grow REIT podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Plant Grow REIT podcast. I'm Laura, and today I'm joined with Jasmine, who is our PNC coordinator at Aintree Group, and she'll be taking us through our fourth installment of our workplace wellness series. So welcome, Jasmine.
Thank you, Laura. It's so good to be here.
Would you like to introduce yourself first fully, and then we can get into it?
Yes. So my name's Jasmine. I am the PNC coordinator at Aintree Group. A little bit about myself. I'm 5'2" on a good day, 5'2½" if I wear heels. So that's why a lot of people will hear me clip-clopping around the office, strutting my stuff down the long hallway that we have here.
I always know you're coming, so, which is a good thing.
Yeah, you know, I like to mix it up. Sometimes when I wear my sneakers, no one knows I'm here. So it's like, depends on the time of day. And I've been at Aintree Group since last year. So my background is I sort of teach yoga and Pilates, and I've been in that space for about 5 years, a little bit more. At the moment I've taken a bit of a break, which is sort of kind of good when we're talking about what we're going to talk about today. That's essentially me.
Well, so to start, do you want to take us through life balance and what that means to you?
Yeah, so a little bit of a disclaimer. When I say life balance, what I'm going to talk about today is just stuff that I've kind of gone through in my life and my self-exploration and the things that I think are really good and really important to me. And I think that whatever people hear, and if they hear something and they want to take something from it and do something with it now or later, or just think, oh, that's a different perspective, that's sort of what it is. It is just my opinion, so it is okay if you don't agree with it.
Yep.
It's just sort of a different perspective, and it's something that I can talk about for hours on end, and I get super excited about it as well. So life balance. When I talk about life balance as opposed to work-life balance, it is looking at your life as a whole as opposed to differentiating between work and then everything else. So for me, it is work, you know, family, friends, all the extra stuff that we do. And then on the other side of it is all the things that I do for myself.
Yep.
So when you give back to yourself, you get a really big return on that investment. I'm a very big believer in that. So having a strong sense of self is really important. So life balance, kind of what do you put on that scale? If you look at it like a seesaw, you know, we have seesaws all throughout life and all throughout different things. So one of the most common seesaws that you may know or may not be aware of is your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system. So that is your fight and flight response and your rest and digest. So you have, every time you inhale, you stimulate your sympathetic nervous system, and every time you exhale, you stimulate your parasympathetic nervous system. So lots of big words.
Yep.
Even the acronyms get a little bit confusing because you've got the SNS and then the PSNS.
I'm sure we all learned it in school, but not sure how much we remember of it.
Exactly. So the reason why I sort of look at that as a bit of a seesaw is if you put the vagus nerve in the center. Now, the vagus nerve is having a bit of an award season at the moment. It's taking a clean sweep of everything and is sort of becoming the forefront of everyone's mind.
Yeah.
We're sort of developing more of an understanding, and what we've sort of discovered is the role that the vagus nerve plays in regulating the nervous system is actually really, really important. And so when you look at a seesaw, you kind of go from one side to the other. And so with the vagus nerve being in the middle, it sort of regulates or controls, I guess, how much you dip into one side and the other.
Yep.
So if every time you inhale, you stimulate your sympathetic nervous system, and every time you exhale, you stimulate your parasympathetic nervous system, the quality of your breath becomes really important. So if you're taking shallow breaths, you're not going to necessarily get enough of a dip into your parasympathetic nervous system, where as opposed to when you're taking nice, long, deep breaths. And so the balance may be off. That is just sort of one seesaw, which I think is kind of present, and there's a whole bunch of other ones. So you can look at yin and yang, and in the when yin and yang are in balance, you get peace.
Yep.
When you look at your physical body and your spiritual body, when they come together, you kind of get peace as well. In the spiritual realm, you have Rajas, which is kind of likened to always on the go, being ready for anything, and you have Tamas on the other side, which is sort of maybe a bit stagnant, not really moving, slow moving, and in the middle you have Sattva, which is peace. So when everything's in balance, you have peace. And so as you breathe and as you kind of go through your day and as you go through life, you're going to dip into each side of the seesaw, maybe a little bit, maybe a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So when I talk about life balance, for me, on one side you have work and everything else. On the other side you have all the things that make you you, so your sense of self. And then in the middle is you. And so when everything is in balance, you kind of get this sense of maybe it's happiness or contentment or a level of joy that maybe is more than happiness or, it could be anything. It's whatever it is to you. And so when I talk about life balance, it's really understanding that scale and what goes on each side of that scale. Yeah. So,
Sorry to interrupt you. How would you say you would achieve life balance, or what are some tips to try and get there?
It is up to the individual. There is no right way or wrong way to do life. Life is what you make of it. There's probably going to be a lot of those cliches throughout this podcast, but life is what you make of it, and what you put in, you get back. And so knowing who you are is such a big part of that, and the only person who can figure that out is you.
Yeah.
So I can tell you some stuff that I do. I go to yoga. I always wear pink. Yeah. I always have my nails done. They are always pink. I have a pink car. Just,
You do, yes.
Anything and everything that's pink, I can guarantee you that I have it. I like going to the beach on rainy days. I don't know why, but I just find it super peaceful.
Yeah, if it works, it works.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of having that courage to do that self-exploration is the biggest thing to help find your sense of self and to know sort of what makes you tick. And so, that's something that's really fun. When you first start to do it, you kind of go, oh, no, like this was a mistake.
Yeah.
But eventually what happens is this really great feeling of knowing who you are and knowing what makes you tick and being able to articulate that, and it changes the way you move through the world. It gives you a sense of self-worth. It gives you a knowledge knowing that even if it doesn't work out, you know you're going to be okay because you have so much.
Yeah, have something to fall back on as well, yeah.
Exactly. And so the reason why life balance and not work-life balance is because work is just one part of it. And I don't think it is fair to say that, oh, it's work and then everything else.
Yeah. Yep.
Why does it have to be everything else? Mm-hmm. And I think being curious about sort of why that is, it can start some really interesting conversations with yourself and with people around you. Work is, it's a necessity. Yeah. Money's a necessary evil. We need it to live. We need it to sort of be able to buy food, everything like that. But work doesn't have to be the only thing.
Yeah.
And why do we have to balance out our personal lives with work? Why is it not just getting, balance all around? And another really great example of this is sort of when you look at like workouts and promotions that maybe gyms and stuff do. They talk about like a 12-week challenge or an 8-week challenge, and, you know, getting your body ready for summer and all of that. And I sort of look at them and I go, but your health's not seasonal, and it's not, there's life that happens after the 12 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think it's really interesting when you look at it from that perspective, because what happens after 8 weeks of doing something? What happens after 12 weeks of doing something?
Yeah, do you just stop doing everything completely? Yeah.
And then everyone goes, oh, yeah, I did it for 8 weeks. I can go back. It's like, well, why? You know, why do you not continue it? What are you doing that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You can go back and do the things that you were doing before. Like that is perfectly fine if that's what works for you. But often what I find is, you know, you're setting yourself up for life, and so your health isn't just seasonal. Just like life isn't all about work. Yeah. You know, what happens when you're on holidays? Mm. What happens when you are retired? What then? If work's not a part of it, then, you know, kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really interesting conversation to have, and having a sense of self and knowing who you are, I think, is so important, and it's such a big part of that. So if you do have a seesaw, which is, you know, work and sort of all the big life things, so your family, your friends, your partner, your kids, pets.
Yeah.
You know, you could probably even put like your house there and like your mortgage, because when things go wrong with the house and the mortgage,
you know, it's a big thing,
it tips the scales a little bit. And same with, you know, your car, or maybe, you know, like holidays and everything like that.
Yeah.
It kind of changes everything. And so if on the other side of the scale is the things that make you who you are, you know, do you know what they are? Do you know the things that make you happy? And I asked you this question earlier. In preparation for the podcast, I asked you, I said, what are the things that make you happy? And before you even answered, I said to you, you don't even have to answer. I can tell you what your top three things are going to be. And I said, I bet you say family, friends, maybe your partner and your cat.
Which is exactly what I said, so
And so I think that's a really interesting question, and if you take the time to kind of ask yourself what makes you happy, 9 times out of 10, people are going to put their family, maybe they'll throw their job in there, maybe they really like what they do, you know, they'll put those things in there. Whereas if you were to ask someone like me what makes me happy, it is such a different list. Like, so different. I started off with going to the beach, but then I love Shakespeare, which just kind of comes out of left field because no one really knows that I spend my weekends reading Shakespeare and, you know, doing that sort of stuff. And then, you know, at the moment, I realized afterwards I probably should put this in there. I've started doing Lego.
Nice,
I did not need that nor want that in. But I just decided, I'm going to make Lego flowers, and that's going to...
Why not? If you enjoy it, you might as well.
Exactly. And it's something that even thinking about makes me so happy. And I sit there with a wildlife documentary on and I just do Lego, whichever one I create. You know, I also like feeding people. Now I want to make very clear, it is not me baking and it's not necessarily the cooking part. But I love feeding people, and I have found that out during COVID because I told you earlier as well, I was making zucchini parmigiana and I forgot that you cut up the zucchinis into like fours or fives or six, depending on how big it is, and I ended up making about 3 trays of this zucchini parmigiana during lockdown, and I was like, I'm one person. I can't eat it. And so I ended up giving it away to people that I knew in my area. And that was really, really nice. I then started baking a whole bunch of stuff, and there was a store down the road which isn't there anymore. And I would give the shop owner food, and it just, it makes me so happy to do that. Mm. And none of my top five is friends, family, or pets.
Which is very interesting. Yeah. But it makes sense when you explain it.
Yeah, and it's like they're the things that I do for myself. And, yes, it is maybe a little bit selfish, but they're the things that are what make me me, and they're the things that fill my cup. And I do those things so that I can come to work and give to others. So it is okay to be selfish in order to be selfless.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that you don't care about your family, care about your friends, you know, like it's just you do that so that you can be better for them as well.
Exactly. And like I said, you know, when you give back to yourself, you do, you get 100% return on that investment. You are the most important person in your life. And when you are at 100%, everyone else is getting the best version of you. And I think we sometimes get caught up in all the life stuff that happens that we forget about that. And so, you know, it's that's when it's kind of like, okay, maybe I become burnt out. Maybe I feel like I'm stuck where I am and just all this stuff's happening. And that's when it's like, okay, let's look at what's actually happening.
Yeah.
You know, what time are you taking out for yourself? Are you comfortable doing that? Because I can tell you now, when you first start doing things for yourself, if you, you know, whether you live at home, whether it's with your friends, your partner, family, any of it, it's sort of like, well, why are you doing that? It's like, oh, that's, you know, like, and all these people go, no, that's like, why are you doing that? That doesn't make sense. It's like, oh, but it makes me, oh, no, you don't need that. And so you kind of, it's almost like a constant battle because the concept of it's okay to be selfish in order to be selfless is really like, it's like, what do you mean? And yes, you can be selfish and you do things just for you and it's like nobody's getting a benefit. And maybe it's like, I know that there is one piece of cake left and I know that multiple people would probably like that piece of cake. And rather than taking a little bit and having everybody, I'm going to take the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eat the whole thing because I want my cake and I want to eat it. You know, I want to eat it all. I don't want to share it.
Yeah.
You know, there's situations like that. And, you know, it's okay to give back to yourself, to be able to give to others. You know, I certainly couldn't be the PNC advisor here if I didn't do the things that I was doing when I go home. So whether that be a yoga class, whether that be talking to my friend or going for a walk or the Lego that I'm doing. I was like, I don't need Lego. And then on the weekend I bought more Lego and I was like, oh gosh, okay. So this is my life now. This
but is as you said, like it's kind of hard for people to take time for themselves and they only really do it when if they become burnt out or when something bad happens. So it'll be interesting to try and get people more into that mindset.
Yeah. And small things equal big results. Things that you do each day have such a big effect, you know, and you may not know it at the time.
Yeah.
So when you look at your day as a whole and you break it down, yes, it's 24 hours, but an hour is about 4% of your day. It's like 4.10, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So if an hour is 4% of your day and then you break it down even further and you go, because everyone says, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm time poor. I've got to do this, 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 and this, and all these sorts of things. And so if you break it down and an hour is 4% of your day, you break it down more and you go, okay, well, 15 minutes is 1% of your day.
Yeah.
If you want to break it down even more, you know, 5 minutes of your day then becomes, what is it, like 0.33 reoccurring, you know, and then that 0.34, what, you know, that one little outlier, that's 5 minutes. And that 5 minutes can be anything. So maybe it is the concert you have in the shower in the morning where you go through a whole set list of songs from your favorite singers. You know, Creed is also always great to sing in the shower. You may not know who Creed is.
No, I actually don't.
You would know one of the songs from TikTok.
Okay, yeah, I probably will then.
Yeah, Creed is, you know, there's some great songs that they have. You know, there's, you know, whether it's a ballad by Whitney Houston or some newer stuff, you know, I can't rap. But, you know, like maybe you like rap and that's what you do. You know, that 5 minutes there or, you know, your morning routine where you do your skincare or, you know, that coffee that you go and you grab on a Friday, whatever it may be, they're the small things that help you to be you and to be able to function throughout the day.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. It's such a good thing. It's like, oh, I'm actually, rather than sitting and eating with you guys at lunch, I'm going to go to the park and I'm going to swing on the swings. And I've done that a couple of times here. It is the most fun.
Yeah, to and just if you break enjoy up the it, day. And it'll make your day better and
yeah.
make you a better person for other people as well. It's totally worth it.
Yeah. And, you know, there is a little bit of guilt that comes with it when you first do it. It's like, oh, like I just feel so guilty. And so we often talk ourselves out of it. It's like, oh, it's not worth it because those feelings of guilt, you know, they kind of take over. And there's also a sense of, oh, why didn't I do it sooner? And then that also kind of is a little bit of negativity that creeps into it. And it's like, oh, I wish I had done this sooner. And so you feel kind of bad about it again or guilty about it again. And there's no need to. It's nothing to feel bad about. And at the end of the day, it's all relative. Like good and bad are a judgment.
Yeah.
You know, that's like you should never feel guilty for giving back to yourself so that you can give to others or just so that you can feel human again and normal again. Mm. That's, you know, it's something that's so simple. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a small thing. But like I said, those small things add up to really big results.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is kind of exciting. So, you know, what do you do for yourself each day or during the week? It doesn't have to be each day. What are some things that you do for yourself?
Probably like after work, I'll just watch TV to relax and wind down. I'll go on the weekends, I'll go to a new restaurant, try some new food that I love. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Bake for friends and family in the office. And yeah.
So what's your favourite recipe to bake? Like what is the one thing that you – because I know I have a recipe that goes down without a hitch, which is my peanut butter chocolate cookies.
Okay. Yep. You'll have to make them for the office.
No, I've already got the stuff. I'm ready. I just had to make the brownies that I made last night. Yep. Like I had to make them first. They're coming in tomorrow because brownies are always good like a couple days later.
Yeah.
But no, don't worry. I will make the peanut butter chocolate cookies. Yep. They go down.
It has to be on a day that I'm in the office though.
Yes. So. No, it's all right. It'll definitely be a Monday because by the Tuesday they'll be gone.
Yeah.
But what's your sort of go-to baking recipe? The one that you go, no, this is every time I make it, I know it's good.
I'd probably say my banana choc chip muffins, which I actually made for Chelsea today. So they're like a common thing in the office now because we always have bananas left over at home. And then also like chocolate chip cookies. Just I like classic things. So stuff like that.
Yeah. So, how does it make you feel whenever you sort of talk about that sort of stuff? Like, because, you know, I don't know if anyone else can, but I can sort of see and hear a difference. Like when you talk about the banana choc chip muffins and then it's like, oh, yeah, I actually made them last night and I brought them in. Mm. Like you can see that you so enjoy it, which I think is so nice.
Yeah. And that kind of brings back to like the three things you love most in the world and you saying things other than the main three, so that would be one of mine.
Yeah. Okay. What else other than your banana choc chip muffins? Because I've got a savoury one, a backup one. So what other than your banana choc chip muffins?
Yeah, I'd probably just have to say the chocolate chip cookies because I do cook like savoury things, but I do enjoy baking mostly and sweet things, so yeah.
Yeah. Mine's zucchini parmigiana.
Oh, there
you go. Because, well, you know, by the fact that I made like three trays unknowingly, it was really good. It fed me for the whole of lockdown pretty much.
And so, honestly, you could have frozen the leftover. You could have done anything and you chose to feed
people. It doesn't last that long. So, you know, and yeah, it definitely doesn't last that long. And that's why I had to, you would have been rolling me out my front door if I had eaten all three trays.
Yeah.
But no, but like that's the thing, doing those things, you know, it gives us a sense of self and a sense of knowing and it allows us to break up our day. And I just think it's so important to do those things and to have those things because they're for you.
Yeah.
And not everyone has the opportunity to have those things, which I think is, you know. But yeah, so that's sort of like why I sort of look at things in terms of like a whole and like life balance. It's not just, oh, I'm gonna pick and choose you know, it doesn't just have to be work and everything else. When you look at everything as a whole, you can kind of use it as a seesaw and go, okay, well, maybe I give all this, I give 80% of my day to everybody else. I'm just going to take this 1% or this 0.333% for myself, you know, and doing all that sort of stuff. And so it may be, you know, whether it's crystals, because I have my crystals, and, you know, there's things that you also don't have to share as well. They can just be for you. And, you know, after a while you sort of start to realize that everything is a choice. And I think that's really important to understand as well. And sometimes thinking you don't have a choice is a choice in itself. And that comes back to, you know, oh, it's work and everything else, or it's everything else. You know, you can choose what happens in your life. You do have a say. And I think that's really important. And then that kind of comes down to also acceptance versus tolerance. You know, you can, you know, we all kind of go through life. And there's going to be times where maybe things are out of balance and we can kind of go, oh, well, this is just it. Maybe the plumbing goes and then your car breaks down and then maybe you're really busy at work. And so the seesaw really kind of swings in roundabouts and kind of goes through, it ebbs and flows just as life does.
So when you're talking about acceptance versus tolerance, what do you mean by that?
So, you know, I believe that we are taught tolerance and not acceptance. So we tolerate situations and things far longer than what we necessarily need to. And it may be because when we go, oh, yeah, we make sort of excuses, I guess, for things and sort of where we are. And so that may be like, oh, the reason why my car is breaking down is because I need to go get it. But that's okay. Like, it's fine for now. And then it ends up being something bigger than what it needs to be. Wherein you can just be like, okay, no, I should probably go. I need to accept that I need to get my car serviced before it comes into something, becomes something bigger. So accepting where you are. Going, okay, this is where I am. Maybe I do need to evaluate everything and sort of going through it. What do I do each day? What do I need to do each day? What am I lacking? You know, what do I need more of? What, am I giving too much or am I giving not enough? Because each day your 100% is different. And so accepting that, okay, this is where I'm at today. Tomorrow is going to be different. Let's forget about tomorrow. But this is where I'm at today, and so I've got to make the most of it. And so rather than tolerating that maybe I'm coming to work and I'm at like 80%, but I really want to be 100%. It's like, well, today you're at 80% and you still get a lot of stuff done. It's just different. And so accepting where you're at in the moment is really important as well. So, yeah, so it's, yeah, the whole thing is just sort of going through and knowing sort of where you are and the things that make you tick and having a strong sense of self. And that's sort of what, what life is about. Getting back to yourself, because you are the most important person. And when you are feeling 100% or when you are feeling the best, everyone else is getting the best version of you. And that to me, is the only thing that you need to do and should be doing.
Yeah, and I was just about to ask just to wrap up, but you've basically just said it, but what's sort of like one or two things from this session that you want people to remember mostly?
That it's okay to just do things for you. Like, you don't have to feel guilty. You are going to feel guilty. It's just a given. But you don't have to, and it does get easier over time. And I think that taking care of yourself, it doesn't have to be a chore. It can be just the best thing you do for yourself. And I feel like when you do that and you stop thinking like, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that, it just changes everything and it just makes life so much more worthwhile, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great way to end it. So thank you for joining us, Jasmine, on this episode of Plant Grow Reap. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Please follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.